Wrong button. But this is so I can record the service. One of the things I need to change is make sure that I'm ready. How many times in your life have you said that this is the year that's going to be different? This is the year that's going to be different. You have all kinds of good intentions. You know, for about 2 weeks, everything works well. And yet, you get into it and nothing ever really changes. What does it really take to make permanent change in your life? All the things that you want, all the things that you want to be different in your life, your health, your finances, your relationships, your marriage, your career, what does it take to change? I mean, we have to not only see the possibility for change, we have to believe it. Amen? We got to believe that it's possible. You have to believe. You have to have faith that you can change and that you can set some faith goals. Now, there was the key word. When we're talking about setting goals, it's all based on our faith in God. Rick Warren interviewed this world-famous psychiatrist, and he asked him, he said, in all your practice over the years, what has been the most helpful thing that you've given people that has helped them to make a difference in their lives that they were wanting to change? And the psychiatrist said, there's no question about it. I've discovered probably the most helpful thing that I can do for people in a personal or relational problem is to help them to set personal goals. Personal goals. Now, why is that? Why is it? Why do I need to set personal goals? Well, you've probably read some books on goal setting, right? Or maybe you've been to a seminar with your job about goal setting and priorities, the 7 Habits of Successful People by Covey, self-help books, tapes. But, you know, I'm not interested in all those things. Those are all good. What we're talking about is the spiritual dimension of goals, faith goals, the spiritual dimensions of what happens when I set my goal in my faith in God. And when you do that, what happens to your soul? The Bible tells us very 5 important things. And the first one is goal setting as a spiritual discipline. That's your blank there. I did try to do the outlines a little better so you don't have to write entire sentences. All you need is a word or two. All right? Goal setting is a spiritual discipline. You probably never looked at it that way. It's far more than just a good idea. It's a spiritual discipline. It's like prayer and fasting and giving or spending time alone with God. Those are all goals. Those are all goals that promote spiritual habits and disciplines that will help you to do what? To grow. To grow. And goal setting should be a spiritual discipline in your life. In fact, it can be an act of stewardship. When you say, God, I want to make the most of what you've given to me, that's stewardship. Those goals could be an act of worship. When you say, God, I want to give back to you in my life, everything that you've given to me, I want to give it back to you so that you can use it for whatever direction you want me to go in. That is an act of worship. It could be an act of discipline. When you do it with other people, it's an act of fellowship. It can actually fulfill all the purposes of God in your life. It's a spiritual discipline. Now, I've heard it said that you can waste your life, you can spend your life, or you can invest it. There are all kinds of ways to waste your life. Amen? How many of us have done that? We've wasted portions of our life, right? All kinds of ways. We could go on for hours. But there's plenty of ways to spend your life as well. But if you want to make the most of your life, you invest it. And you invest it in the things that's going to outlast everything else. In other words, there are 3 kinds of people in the world. There are people who make things happen. Then there are people who watch things happen. And then there are people who have no idea of what's happening. And actually, I think there's a 4th group that those are the people who never do anything themselves, but sit back and criticize everybody else who's making an effort. And that's probably the worst group of all. Because they're just sitting there taking pot shots at people who are trying at least to do something with their lives. And one of the reasons we need to set goals in every area of our life and why we need to get on this important is because God is a God who sets goals. We learned this morning in Sunday school that we were made in His image. Well, if we are made in His image, we need to imitate the things that He does. And God sets goals. You may not realize this, but God has goals for history that haven't even happened yet. God has goals for your family. God has a goal for this church that we haven't seen happen yet. And God has goals for your life that haven't happened yet. God is a planner. And He sets goals. And God wants us to do the same. Here's one example. It's Ephesians 1:10. To put into effect, that's God's will, to put something into effect when times reach their fulfillment. That means to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now I want you to circle that first phrase, to put into effect. And I want you to do that because I want you to notice that God plans. He doesn't just sit around and let things happen. God has a plan. Remember Jeremiah 29:11? That'll be one of the other slides. I know the what? The plans I have for you, says the Lord. He's a planning God. Some people think, I'm just going to trust God and I'm not going to make any plans for my life. I'm just going to trust God and I'm kind of going to go with the flow. But let me be blunt here. That's not spiritual. That's stupid. You just can't just go with the flow. The Bible says God plans. And so if God plans, you should be making plans too. You should not go one more day in this next year, this next decade, the next 10 years, without some plans for your life. Otherwise, you're just going to be just drifting. It says when times reach their fulfillment. Fulfillment is the word that we're, that's the goal. And the goal is to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. You see, history is moving. And history is moving toward a climax where one day there's going to be a judgment. There will be a judgment day. That'll be the day where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen. See, our history is moving toward that goal. I remember probably 30 years ago, you all remember the Lion King movie? Great movie, right? We all love the Lion King movie. And what's the big song from the Lion King? The Circle of Life, right? I got news for you. That's a great song, but it's poor theology. You know, it has this idea of life being a circle. And that's not a Christian concept. That's Buddhist. The Bible doesn't teach that life is a circle, that we're all just reincarnated over and over and over again in the circle of life. No, what the Bible teaches is that life is moving linear. Life is linear. It's moving toward a goal. History is His story. His story. And one day the earth is going to end. One day God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible tells us in Revelations that all things that God is going to do, one thing after another, and it's not a cycle. Now there are seasons of life. And there's no doubt about that. We have winter, spring, summer, and fall. And sometimes we have winter and winter and winter. We have a lot of seasons in our life, but we are all moving toward a goal. It's like Paul says, I press on toward the prize that God has set for me heavenward. So God is a goal setter, and God is setting a spiritual discipline. And second, goals focus my energy. Goals focus my energy. Energy that's not focused is what we would call diffused. It just doesn't have much power. But energy that's focused has enormous power. A great illustration of that would be the difference between a flashlight and a laser. Flashlight just sends out kind of a warm, fuzzy light, and it doesn't harm anything. A laser can go from here to the moon and back again. They've developed lasers. They're going to start putting lasers on our military ships that can cut planes in half. And it can only do that because it has focused energy. And Paul models this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating at the air. He says, I'm not just out there running around. And I'm not running around in circles. I'm running toward a goal. And I run to win. You know, it's not just I'm just going with the flow. So I don't want you running around in circles. I don't want you just boxing at the air and not hitting anything. You know, it's just like we talked with the kids. When you're an archer, you shoot at a target. And the goal is to hit the target. Whatever it might be. But you can't know where to shoot if you don't know what the goal is. So Paul says, I have a purpose. He says, I have a goal in everything that I do. And if you do that, it's going to help you to focus in your life. The reason that's important is because you don't have time for everything. Amen. 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 We don't have time to do everything. And so we have to focus on the things that we do have time for. The good news is God doesn't expect you to do everything. Let me repeat that. God doesn't expect you to do everything, because you know what? Not everything is worth doing in the first place. I think we've all experienced that, where we thought something would be good and we went out and tried that and go, oh, that was a waste of time. Should have never done that. There's a lot of times we're wasting our lives on second-class causes. And those things betray us. Most of what's going on in our culture today isn't going to matter next week. It isn't. A lot of people don't know the difference between what's urgent and what's important. The urgent is almost never anything important. It's just pressing. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's a disaster, it's an emergency. But what's most important in your life is the stuff that's the easiest to set aside, isn't it? I want to spend time with God. Would you agree that's probably important? But I set it aside for what becomes urgent. I want to spend time with my family. But I set it aside for something that seems urgent. The urgent always, almost always, pushes the importance out of our life. So urgent doesn't mean it's the most important thing. It just means it's urgent. There's a lot of stuff that isn't going to matter tomorrow, and yet goals will help us focus our energy for today and our future. Do you ever get to the end of the day and go, where did my time go? You know, you get to the end, where did it go? It just seemed like the whole day just kind of flew by. And that's because you didn't have a goal. You weren't focused. The Bible says this, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity, he says. We're to make the most of every opportunity, and that means don't waste our time on the non-essential things. It means you need to know the difference between pressures and priorities. The difference between activity and achievement. The difference between urgent and what's important. And you need to know what matters most. You see, the secret of an effective life, if you want your life to count, is focus. Don't try to do 50 things that you just kind of dabble in. And a lot of us, that's really hard not to do, because we like to have our fingers in all the pies. You know, I'm guilty of that. But what's most important, you find that out and you do those things. And then you just don't worry about the other stuff. Somebody else will do it. It'll get done, trust me. If today you were to die, do you think your job would miss a beat? Would your business miss a beat, or would they just go hire someone to replace you? So focus on the things that are important. Third, goals stretch my faith. It stretches my faith. Actually, godly goals are statements of faith. They affirm that you are putting your trust in God. When you say, I believe God wants me to accomplish this, and I believe that God wants me to accomplish this by this date, that's a statement of faith. I have a goal of a certain weight loss by my birthday, and I believe that that's what God wants me to do, because that's going to be significant. Because I'm going to turn 60, which is a rather large milestone for a lot of people. Some people like to look at that as that's the day everything goes downhill. You know, by the way, there is a note that says no over-the-hill gifts, okay? Don't want to see that. Because I look at it, it's just another day that starts a new decade of service to God. I got another 20 or 30 years left, trust me. I got a lot of gas in the tank, and that's because God put it there. And I know that God's not done with me yet. Dreams are good, but dreams don't do anything unless you wake up and go to work, right? There are dreams, and then there are resolutions, and then there are goals. And the best of those things is goals. A lot of people have dreams and don't do anything about it. Then there's other people who set resolutions, and there's nothing wrong with resolutions, but you've got to get the other things behind it, like a team, like a Daniel Plan group, and accountability, the power of the Lord, and things like that. It's to say, I want to do this, but a goal is a dream with a deadline. A goal says, by the end of 2014, I'm going to have this job, or I'm going to weigh this amount, or I'm going to read a certain number of books. It's specific. It's measurable. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to set goals, and because it stretches our faith. That's so important, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible also says in Matthew 9:29, you ought to have this verse memorized by now, according to your faith, it will be done to you. You have never really trusted God until you have attempted something that can't be done in the power of the flesh. If you can do something on your own power, then you probably really didn't need faith at all. So faith goals are those things that are so big, they force you to depend on God. You let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. And if you have a big God, you've got to set some big goals. The biggest mistake we make is we set goals too low. And we try little goals. And we accomplish those things really quick. And so we need to set bigger goals. The problem with goals is when they're done in faith, they're always going to get fulfilled earlier than we expect. So I guess what I'm doing is I'm challenging you to dream. And what I want you to do is I want you to dream big dreams. Big dreams for God. And then I want you to set a deadline on that. I want you to say, this is what I'm going to do by faith. And then I'm going to ask God to give me the faith to make it happen. Another thing about dreams is they don't cost anything. Dreams don't cost you a penny. But you can set a goal, and nothing happens until you start dreaming. So goals come from our dreams. Goals are when we take those dreams and we put the foot to the pedal. The Bible says in Romans 14:23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Let's read that again. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So how many times did you sin yesterday? A lot, right? So did I. Because most of what we do doesn't require any faith. How do you know when you need faith? That would be a good question. How do you know? Pastor, how do you know when you need faith? You're taking a risk. If there are no risks in your life, then that doesn't require much faith because you're playing it safe. And most of us try to play safe in every area of our life. And you know what? That is not pleasing to God. Playing it safe is not pleasing to God because you're not trusting Him. You're not depending on Him. Goals are a spiritual discipline. Goals focus my energy, and goals stretch my faith. And here's the one I'm most interested in as your pastor. Goals build my character. They build and develop my character. Now I want you to listen very carefully to this. The reason I'm teaching you on the power of faith goal setting is not so you can just go out and accomplish a bunch of stuff. What I'm more interested in is what happens to you and what happens to your character. The greatest benefit of setting goals and setting goals in faith is not that you reach your goal and you accomplish a certain thing. It's what happens to you on the journey. It's how God uses the journey to the goal to change you, to mold your character, to make you a person of faith, to make you somebody who is pleasing to God. I mean, that's a plot of 1,000 movies that we've seen, right? I mean, whether the plot of the movie is to win the war or go to the moon or climb Mount Everest or to get the girl, whatever it is, during the movie, there's all kinds of obstacles that the main character's got to go through and get to so he can reach the goal. And during all of those things, the character in the movie, usually they kind of grow up and mature and they turn into somebody better. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to grow up. Because believe it or not, you could be 60 and still be a spiritual infant. You could be an adolescent. Where are you spiritually in your journey? Because really, when you get to heaven, you're not going to take all your accomplishments or your achievements to heaven, are you? You're not taking all the awards or your bowling trophies. I can't even remember what my bowling trophies are. All your certificates and all the honors that you got in your life, none of those are going to heaven with you. But you are taking you. You're taking the character that you've developed here on earth, and it will go with you. And the reason God put you on earth instead of taking you directly to heaven was to develop your character. I mean, don't we all ask that sometimes when we pray the prayer, we become Christians, Lord, just bring me home. If it's so wonderful, why are you leaving me here? Because He has a plan. He has set you apart for a purpose. One of the ways you develop your character is by setting a goal and going after it and not giving up until you get it. When you go through all kinds of difficulties and trials, and that molds you and helps you to become strong. And it's in that process, the struggle, that you develop the kind of character that God wants you to have. If you don't have any dreams, then really, why do you even get out of bed? What is the struggle in your life that makes life even worth living? When you're working on your goals, God is working on you because that's going to last you for eternity. Remember Joseph wrestling with God? He wasn't going to give up until he won. Those are the goals that God wants us to pursue. Life is a course in character development. It's a preparation for eternity. And this life is to get ready for the stage in our next life. Otherwise, God would have just taken us to home. Paul is just honest about all this stuff, about growing in character, about becoming more and more like Christ and maturing and struggling. And all that's, it's a slow process. But Paul says this, and this is what I just shared with the kids, not that I have already attained this. In other words, he's saying, not that I have reached my goal yet, or that I have already arrived at my goal. That's my character being fully developed. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. So what is that goal? You know what God's number one goal is for your life? Now this might shock you. It's not to make you happy. Happiness is kind of a side benefit. It's not to make you comfortable. And I could get an amen for that because we all could say, oh, my life is anything but comfortable. Because it's not always comfortable, is it? It's not to make you secure because life isn't always secure. This isn't heaven. This is earth. God's number one goal in your life is to make you like Jesus. He wants you to grow up in character. He wants you to learn to respond to everything the way Jesus would do it. You know, the whole what would Jesus do thing. In trials, in troubles, in tribulations, in difficulties, in problems, He wants you to know how to handle criticism. He wants you to know how to handle your enemies. He wants you to know how to be kind to people who don't pay you back. He wants you to learn how to love people who are unlovable. You know, those kind of people we say only a mother could love. He wants you to learn how to forgive people who have hurt you. He wants you to learn the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. God wants you to learn that. That's character. That's becoming like Jesus. He wants you to become like Him. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Another translation says, then we will be mature just as Christ is and we will be completely like Him. Let me say this to you. As your pastor, this whole thing about becoming like Jesus, it's not automatic. It's not just going to happen. It's not easy. It takes time. In fact, it's going to take the rest of your life as you grow in character. The rest of your life. There's no pill I can give you that will make you instantly mature, that will help you to love everybody, to never get upset, that you're never going to be afraid because you whistle a happy tune. I can't give you a seminar or a conference or an event that's going to take away all those things in your life. All the things that mess up your life. It's going to be a process. And that process is how goals build my character. So you should have spiritual goals. I want you to be more kind this next year, but how? How am I going to measure that? You said my goals should be measurable. You need to think things through. I want to treat my wife better, but I want you to think specifically, how am I going to treat my life better? How am I going to measure it? Okay, I see the elbows going. All right. How can I measure that? Well, I'm going to treat my life better because the second week of every, we're going to have date night and we're going to go out. All right. Or every other week, I'm going to do this for her. Or, you know, you set measurable goals, and goals will build your character, and they will make you more like Christ, if they're good goals. 5, goals give me hope. Goals give me hope. The reason why you need to set goals is that they give you hope, and you need to have hope in your life. You have to have hope in order to cope. You can't go without water for a day. You can go without water for a day or so, and you can go without food for many days. But you have to have hope if you're going to live. It's essential to life. The fact is, life is tough. Everybody agree with that? Life's tough. It's not easy. This is not heaven on earth. And life is full of losses and full of accidents. It's full of illnesses and stuff that happen. And I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years of your life or my life. But I do know this. There will be problems. Jesus said in John 16:33, I tell you the truth, in this life you will have trouble. Anybody I ever led to Christ, that's the first verse I share with them after they pray. I try to be very sure to not tell them, if you pray this prayer, everything's going to be great. Y'all remember, everything is beautiful. It's not like that. Jesus said you're going to have problems. And now, because you're on Satan's main radar, because you have just now asked Jesus into your life, and he's going to come at you. Because he knows that your eternal destination is now heaven. And where's he going? Hell. So what's the only thing he can do now? He's going to try to make your life a hell on earth. But if you set goals, goals will give you hope. Goals will keep you moving forward, even in the difficult times of your life. Goals will keep you moving when you feel like giving up. And without a goal, you don't have any reason to go on. You don't have any reason to get out of bed in the morning. Job had to deal with this. Remember when Job lost everything in his life? He said this in Job 6:11. He says, what strength do I have that I should still have hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm sure some of you are going through some pretty rough times. And maybe you think, you know, you nailed it on the head when you said hell on earth, because that's my life now. What do you do when you're going through hell? I would suggest you keep going. You know, you don't want to stay there. Your goal is to keep going. You don't want to stop and have a tea party. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that I'm going to not stay in the valley. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will get through it. And why? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me. You know, I'm more of an NIV guy, but when it comes to that verse, I'm King James all the way. For thou art with me. So, if you don't set any goals for your life this next year, your goal is the goal to stay the same. And I say to you, if that's your goal, that's playing it safe. It's your goal to be healthy this next year, and you say, I don't have one. Then your goal is to stay the same or get worse. If you say, if I was to ask you, what's your goal for your finances this year, and you say, I don't have one, guess what? You're going to go further into debt. If I say, what's your career goals this year, and you say, I don't have one, then your goal is just to go around in a circle and maintain the status quo. If I was to ask you, what's your goal in your marriage, and you said, I don't have one, guess what? Your marriage is not going to get any better. If I say, what's your goal in your relationship with the Lord, and you say, I don't have one, then you're not going to get any closer to Him. You need a goal. If you aim at nothing, you're always going to hit nothing. You've all heard that before, right? Long-term goals will keep me from being discouraged by my short-term setbacks. And everybody has setbacks. You know, if you've done any kind of fitness program, down a pound, up a pound. Down 2 pounds, back up a pound. There's going to be setbacks. But you don't give up. Because the long-term goal is, I want to be half the man I used to be. That's the long-term goal. And I can only get there with faith in God. We're going to suffer short-term setbacks for our church. But our long-time goal is to follow Jesus. Amen? To grow as followers and in number. And we know that the Lord is going to provide for us at just the right time, in just the right way, with just the right people. So I don't need to worry about it, and you don't need to do it either. Because God is going to make it happen. There's the verse we talked about earlier, Jeremiah 29:11, right? I know the plans I have for you are plans to prosper you and not harm you. They are plans to give you hope and a future. So you need to have some plans that coincide with God's plans for your life. So let me say this. You need to set long-range goals, right? We said that. But goals don't always have to be super big. If you've ever been in the hospital, you know what that's like. Your first goal after surgery is what? To sit up in bed. That's a big goal when you've had maybe abdominal surgery or something. Just to sit up in bed is a goal. That's a big goal, but it doesn't have to be super big, right? It's not a long-term goal, getting up. The second goal is to put your feet down and stand up. The third goal is to walk to the bathroom on your own so you don't have to use that little thing, you know? The fourth goal is to walk the wing of the hospital, and then finally you get to go home. You don't start by saying, my goal today is to run a marathon if you've just had surgery. No, one goal at a time. I don't really know what's going on in your life, but the reality is some of you have just been kind of coasting. You've been kind of drifting along. You've been going through life aimlessly, maybe during the entire recession or for months or years or even longer. I would encourage you not to waste the next 10 years. Make it a decade of destiny. Maybe you've gotten stuck in the past, or maybe you just bogged down by today. The bottom line is you need to set some goals to get yourself out. You could say, hey, I'm discouraged like Job. I've got no reason to get out of bed. Set some goals. It's also important to realize that not every goal is a good goal. Not every goal is a godly goal. Not every goal is a goal that's going to get God's blessing. You obviously want God's blessing on your goals, right? So what kind of goals does God bless? And I'm not going to go out there and set goals in life that God isn't going to help me with. So I need to set some godly goals, and there's five things. The first of which is godly goals, the kind of God blesses brings glory to God. That's an obvious one. But let's just say this. The goals that God blesses are those that bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I have to admit, I ate a donut this morning for the glory of God. Confession, right? It was all for the glory of God. The Bible says that you can do everything in your life to the glory of God. If you got the right attitude, if you got the right motivation and the right reason, anything can be done for the glory of God if you do it with the right motivation. It says whether you eat, do it for the glory of God. And I'll be honest with you, if I sit down at a restaurant, I don't naturally think about what foods are going to bring glory to God. But I have had a change of mindset. And so have everybody in our group. And I think some of you are doing it even outside the group. But I would encourage you to find a group or make a group of your own. Because again, it's all about community. The bigger issue is no matter what you do in life, it can't be done to the glory of God if you don't do it with the right attitude. If you don't do it with the right motivation. So what is the right attitude? It's gratitude. What kind of goals bring glory to God? Any goal that causes me to love Jesus more is going to bring glory to God. Any goal that causes me to be more grateful to God, my goal that causes me to want to serve God, any goal that causes me to want to be drawn closer to Him, any goal that causes me to want to brag about God all the time with people and to share my testimony, anything that's going to cause me to love Jesus more as I fulfill that goal, and it causes me to obey and trust God more, that's a good goal. So you want to bring glory to God by loving and trusting and serving and obeying. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, whether we're here on earth or in heaven. Second, godly goals, the kind of goals God blesses, are motivated by love. By love. I mean, this is very important because God is far more interested in why you do what you do than rather what you did. He's more interested in your heart than your actions. There was a passage in one of the prophets, I don't remember exactly, where God says, I don't want your vain sacrifices. They were real good at going through all the rituals and all the stuff, and I don't want your vain sacrifices, I want your heart. I want you to love me. When my kids come up and they hug me, I want them to hug me because they love me and not because it's an obligation. I can't tell you how fulfilling it is when I walk through this room and all the children run up and hug me. tells me that they love me and they know that I love them. When I hug each and every one of you. That's motivated by love, not because I have to, it's because I love you. God blesses goals that are motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, do everything in love. Everything. And why? Because it's the number one lesson in life. God is love. And God puts you on earth to learn how to love. And if you don't learn that, it doesn't matter what you accomplish. It doesn't matter what you acquire or what you do or what you experience, because God put you here to learn to love other people. To love Him. To love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a big lesson. So if you're not learning love in your goals, God's not going to bless that. So why do you do what you do? Why you do what you do is more important than what you do. There are two kinds of people, or actually there's two kinds of love that motivate us to set goals. Our love for God and our love for Jesus. And our love for other people. When you use those two motives, you set your goals and you say, Lord, I want to get in shape because I want to give you a healthy body. I want to give you a healthy temple. And I want to get in shape because I love my family. And I want to last and not die prematurely. I want to get in shape because, and you see, you're doing it for others and for God. Not simply because I want to look good or better, more attractive. You know, you want to set that goal. So I've got a lot of stuff to go and we end up running out of time. So we're gonna stop here at number 3, and we'll pick that up next week. What is God challenging you with today?